Up and down emotions. And speaking of emotions tonight, which is also can be considered an action, why do we find it so difficult to love? Jesus has given us one simple command, to love Him and to love one another. Would you give yourself an A+ at loving God and loving one another? What makes it so difficult to practice love? Our sinful nature, the sinful nature of others. While we find it difficult to practice love, thankfully, Jesus continues to love us, as evidenced tonight through the message we hear on this Monday, Thursday, knowing what lay ahead of Him Friday. Thankfully, His love is perfect. And so we celebrate that love tonight. A perfect love for you and for me and for all. And in light of that perfect love, may God the Holy Spirit continue to help us then not find it difficult to love Him, our God, and also one another. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3 of the worship bulletin. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord is near to all who call on Him.
To all who call on Him in truth.
In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in Your righteousness.
Turn Your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a song of fortress to save me.
Since You are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of Your name, lead and guide me.
Free me from the trap that is set for me, for You are my refuge. Into Your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth.
Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. The word of the Lord.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, you give us your true body and blood as a remembrance of your suffering and death on the cross. Grant us so firmly to believe your words and promise that we may always partake of this sacrament to our eternal good.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Holy Scripture, Exodus 24, God reveals himself in a special way while also making his expectations of us very clear. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him." When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded,
"We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey."
Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of lapis lazuli, as bright blue as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The word of the Lord.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Thank you.
Jesus provides a way for us to be super connected to him. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
God's grace is yours in abundance, and this is evident through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We focus our attention on these words from John 18. "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This is God's word. Truth. It is an interesting topic, especially as people try to define what it is. Some say there is no truth, which then could be taken to mean that that's not true, and so then there really is truth. Truth is your reality, some say. Well, there are some people's realities I don't think we want to be a part of, do we? Truth, that it exists, it's undeniable. Though people try to deny it. I mean, for example, buildings would not be able to be built and remain standing if there wasn't truth. I mean, truth impacts so many areas of life, really all areas of life, and putting biases aside, everything exists because there is truth. In the areas of math and science and history and so on. Even when it comes to belief systems, there is undeniable truth. And one undeniable truth, even though people will try to deny it, is that not all beliefs are equal. And we can say that unashamedly, even as the Apostle Paul was unable to say unashamedly so, as recorded in Romans, not being ashamed of the gospel because he truly believed, and for good reason, that only the gospel had a life-changing ability on the people of this world. Jesus himself did not hesitate to say, as recorded in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, the Creator, except through him." Now, that's what today we would call a serious mic drop. Truth. Because Jesus is truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and because of this week's events, the focus of this week, another important truth unfolds before us, and that is that we are able to live free in this life thanks to what Jesus is and what he has done for us. I mean, either we are living free in Jesus or we are under the control of Satan and our sinful nature. And even when we are not experiencing what many would call freedom in this life, whether it be because of work or bills or family or whatever, that doesn't nullify the freedom that we are able to have on the inside. That truth does not change, because that truth is not rooted in us but in Christ. In order then to live free in Jesus, we need to recognize a couple important side truths. One of those side truths being about ourselves, and the other side truth being about Jesus himself. What do you know about yourself? What do you like to admit about yourself? What don't you like to admit about yourself? Well, one thing that we have to admit about ourselves, if we really want to be truthful and honest, is that we are not perfect human beings. And the reason for that goes back to Genesis 3, the fall into sin. And since then, Flesh gives birth to flesh. That's not an excuse for our sin, for the way we are, but it helps explain why we are the way we are and why the world is the way it is. I mean, because our world, and too many churches of today, miss the doctrine of original sin and emphasize that, well, people are basically good. If we just remove certain things from their hand, they'll know how to behave. That's not going to happen. Until this is changed, the other things will not change. But if we refuse to acknowledge that this needs to change, we're at a standstill. And that's why there are laws in our land, laws that God has handed down, because He knows us, flesh gives birth to flesh, and people need to have laws and consequences. And yet what happens to those laws that God hands down and the laws our nation comes up with? Because we're not basically good people by nature, we break those laws. People get hurt. That's called actual sin. And so again, what do we have to admit about ourselves? That we are conceived and born in sin, and so are under the wrath of God, and would be lost forever unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we give evidence of this sinful nature day in and day out, not only in our thoughts, but also in our words and in our actions. Can you recall the last time you have not said a loving word to somebody in your own household, in the workplace, leaders in government? We're guilty. We're guilty of committing sins of commission and omission. Things that God does not want us to do, we do. And things that He wants us to do, we don't do. Time and time again. Truth. Truth we need to admit about ourselves. Truth the world needs to admit about itself. And who does God use to reveal such truth to the world? You, who by the grace of God have come to know the truth about yourself and to know that you cannot fix it on your own, but you know the one by the grace of God who has given us freedom from our sinful nature and rescued us from our condemned situation. You know, with the admission of sin, often comes what? Guilt. And guilt can eat a person up, can it not? I mean, guilt, someone once compared, is like falling into quicksand. You panic, and it makes it worse. And as you sink further, all hope seems to be gone. And that's what guilt, when left untreated, does to us. The longer we are in it and the more we dwell on it, we panic more and more and we don't see any hope. But dear friends, we are reminded tonight that we don't have to be swallowed up by the quicksand. Something has been done about our sin and the guilt that comes with it. And so it's important that we recognize continually the truth about Jesus, our Savior. Truth that He has revealed to us on the pages of Scripture for time and for eternity. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, wrote to his co-worker Timothy, "Here is a trustworthy saying. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners." And what did Paul say? And we have to kick him out of line. "Of whom I am the worst." We all can say that. But Paul truly realized that he was not without hope because of that trustworthy saying about Jesus the Christ, who came into this world out of love to save us sinners, so that we would not have to remain in our sin and all that comes with it. Jesus knows the truth about us, who we are, and he still came to rescue us. Amazing grace. Amazing love in action. So again, if anybody ever doubts the love of God, if you ever doubt the love of God in your life, no matter what is going on in your life, as pressed down as you might be, remember that trustworthy saying, the truth, that Jesus came into this world to save you. And so not even what is pressing you down can take you away from what he has for you. What he won for us through the cross, the reason why he came, to shed his blood so that we might have forgiveness of sins. And with that, no longer be under the control of our sinful nature and have the gift of eternal life to hold on to. And so another truth and the Lord has given to us to help us soak in his grace and his forgiveness and the price of that forgiveness. He's given us that meal where his body and his blood is together with the bread and wine in a way that we may not be able to explain to the minds of this world, but we don't need to when all is said and done. Just need to believe it. We are reminded of what the Lord went through for us and what he has won for us. And as we receive then the body and blood of our Lord and Savior together with the bread and wine, we are personally assured of his forgiveness. Can we put a price tag on that? It's something then that we ought to treasure and look forward to. And we do that by preparing our hearts and our minds for what we receive. For as reminded of in one of the readings we heard earlier, this is not something that we are to take lightly or to partake of in an unworthy manner. If we are actively living in sin and refuse to acknowledge that sin, then we are not receiving the Lord's forgiveness, but rather his judgment. He doesn't want that on you. We don't want that on you. And so what an important reminder for us then to have that repentant heart, to confess to one another the sins that are open and to confess to God all the other sins that he alone knows, and he does know them. And then be assured, because of what Jesus has done, when he speaks to you through a fellow believer or his called servant, your sins are forgiven. Come up in peace and be personally assured of that. Not only are you personally assured of forgiveness, you are renewed again to no longer live under the control of the sinful nature, but rather you look to what God's commands are and seek with his help to love him and one another as he wants us to love, a self-sacrificing love, while also being reassured and renewed in the hope of heaven that awaits for us. What a meal. What a gift. Because of love. That's the truth. Thankfully, truth does exist. In particular, God's saving truth. And that truth has been revealed to you and has been given to you. That is your reality, dear friends. a reality which enables you to truly live free in Jesus. Because you know the truth. His truth. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, who is truth. Amen. We pray. Precious Redeemer, may your face that once reflected the burden of our sins and the anguish of hell be ever turned toward us in love and tenderness.
Let no one in this Christian assembly, let us know you as a friend and Lord, as a loved Savior, ever betray your love.
And may the dear blood once shed for us be for our sins the perfect cleansing power. And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Please stand for the next reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the 13th chapter. A reminder that Jesus serves every aspect of our life. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress. And the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. The word of the Lord.
Christ, have mercy on us.
In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden, O Lord, hear our prayer, listen to our cry for mercy, and in your faithfulness come to our relief. Do not bring your servants into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer us quickly, O Lord. Our spirit fails. Do not hide your face from us, for we have put our trust in you. Show us the way we should go, for to you we lift up our soul. Teach us to do your will, for you are our God.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by my sins that follow me, and am deeply sorry for them.
Jesus says to his
people, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and for the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, I believe."
Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, be assured all your sins are forgiven. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life.
O Lord, my God, I call to you for help and you have seen me. I thank you for the love you have shown me in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Through him you have rescued me from the guilt of my sin and given me the peace of forgiveness. Help me fight against temptation, correct whatever wrongs I can, and serve you and those around me with love and good works. In Jesus' name I pray.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. Now may they strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and with joy, for you are at peace with God.
Thank you.
We pray. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. May the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives.
Amen.
This may come as a shock, but I have no announcements tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow, either one at 6:30 or and also Easter Sunday, 8 and 10:45 with the Easter breakfast starting at 9:15. Blessings on your evening.